Well, today we're going to speak the sermon in the Sermon on the Mount series. We're ready for the phrase, Thy Kingdom Come. Thy Kingdom Come. Many people only hear that in the phrase, the old westerns. I'm gonna blow him to kingdom come. I don't know where that was, but it didn't sound like any place you wanted to go. But in the Sermon on the Mount, it's different. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Really? We're going to pray to the one who is the God of all things, the creator of all things, the one who is Father, and not only Father, but our Father. One who is not like us, one who transcends us, one who is in heaven. And we are going to tell all those around us that this God we hold holy in our hearts and holy in our lives. Hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your person. Hallowed be your heritage that you are allowing to be played out in the world. Hallowed be your name. And then follows this piece. You are great God. You are holy God. Your kingdom come here. Could your kingdom come here? Could your rule be established here? It's a scary thing, I think, to ask Holy God, Holy Father, our Holy Father, our Father, hallowed be thy name, to come and establish his rule here. Do you want to be under the rule of Holy God? It might be more than you could handle. In the Old Testament, they were afraid if you looked at God, you might just die. And here Jesus is praying and inviting all of us to pray that we would come under the rule, the reign, the personal care of Holy God. Psalm 29. It's a great psalm. Let me read this psalm. You need to hear this psalm. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The word of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf. Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in His temple all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Ascribe to the Lord, hear His power, His voice thunders. He is enthroned as King, and He blesses His people. It's a marvelous thing when God is King, because the one who is great and powerful is full of love and kindness. The one who can crack the cedars of Lebanon with a word comes to us in gentleness and care. Who would not want a God like this? Powerful and loving, strong and gentle. When God comes to His people, when He brings them out of Egypt, He makes this commitment to them. If you'll obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations you'll be my treasured possession. And although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. The one who is king says, you'll be my kingdom. And you will all be priests before me. And you will be the ones who hallow my name. Sounds good. But the people of Israel, they had a better idea. They wanted to have a king they could give 10% of their stuff to. They wanted a king who would come and take their sons and daughters away into servitude. They had a king that would come and plunder their crops. They wanted a king that would go to war. And so they come to Samuel in 1 Samuel 8 and say, give us a king to lead us. Give us a king. God says to Samuel, don't you worry about what they said to you. It is me they have rejected as king. Now, last week in class, we kind of talked about this, the power of people who say they want to reject God as king, but God is relentless in His desire to rule over us without any intermediaries. And so, God makes the promise. This is in 1 Chronicles. You were just reading 1 Chronicles this morning. He tells David, I'm going to raise up your offspring to succeed you. I'm going to raise up one of your own sons. I'm going to establish his kingdom. He's going to get to build a temple. He'll build a house for you. And I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father. He will be my son. I'll never take my love away from him. And he says, I will set him over my house and my kingdom forever. His throne will be established forever. That's why as the time for Jesus to be born came, the people of Palestine were looking for this one who would come and would be the son of David. When Matthew begins, he says, the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. He wants us to know that Jesus is now the one who is bringing the kingdom rule of God back. No longer an earthly king, but now there will be a king in heaven who will be our king. And so Jesus begins his preaching. And when Amanda read it, she read this wonderful section that begins in chapter 4, verse 13. After John the Baptist's ministry is over, Jesus starts preaching. Repent. Turn your life around. Because the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And this repentance for the kingdom of heaven is near is a very simple lesson. But it's asking people to accept the kingdom rule of God in their life. I don't know if you're big on language. Most of us do good to speak one language. Some of us in the room speak two or three. But this word kingdom in English, it means what's ruled. A king is the ruler, and the king reigns, and the king reigns over a territory, a kingdom, or reigns over a people. But the kingdom is what is ruled. And we understand English, and since the Bible was written in English, that's the way it ought to be. But the problem is, the Bible wasn't written in English. The Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, and in the New Testament Greek, the word for kingdom carries this double-barreled notion. That the kingdom is not only what is ruled, but kingdom is also the rule itself. The reign or the rule itself. And so the kingdom of heaven is not only what is reigned over by God, but the fact of that rule itself. The rule of God. And so when Jesus comes preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he says, repent because the rule of God is being established in the earth. The rule of God, the reign of God is being established. Turn your life around so that you can get under that rule. Now this gets to be important for us in this building, some of us. For some of us, the following comments will be as alien as speaking another language or third semester calculus. But for some of us who've been raised in the Churches of Christ for a long time and have been blessed by that tradition, that's me. I am raised in that tradition and I love that tradition. But a long time ago, we had this experience in the Churches of Christ. There were people who were coming and were teaching that Christ is going to come into the world and He's going to reign for 1,000 years on the earth. And the reason Christ is going to do that is because Christ came into the world to establish His kingdom, but that failed. And since the establishment of the kingdom failed, He established the church. And the church will exist until Christ comes again to reestablish His kingdom on earth and reign for 1,000 years. Some of our folks had trouble with that because they couldn't find anything that sounded like that actually in the Bible. Which gave us some legitimate indigestion, I guess, which is true. Our response to that, as we debated that, was to make the point that the kingdom didn't fail. The kingdom was successful because the kingdom became the church, and the kingdom and the church are with us, and therefore we are not waiting for the kingdom to come. It's already come, and it lives in the body of the church. And so the kingdom and the church are the same thing. Now I said all of that to say this. Some of us, including me, were taught when we were growing up in the Churches of Christ, we were taught that you don't say the Lord's Prayer anymore. You don't say it because this particular phrase is no longer being anticipated. We no longer say, "Thy kingdom come." Jesus would have said that before Pentecost, but after Pentecost, the kingdom had come, the church was established, so this is a model prayer, but it's not a prayer actually to be prayed. I want to give honor and respect to those who have that position, and if that is your position in all good conscience, then we want to bless you. And that's not sarcastic. That is absolutely true. Okay? That's absolutely true. Now I want to come alongside that and tell you something else that is not liberal, but actually grows out of the language itself and tells you a different thing. Because of the kingdom being the rule of God, not only the territory that is ruled, but also the fact of God's rule, the sense in which the church is the kingdom of God does not completely fulfill all of the meaning that is attached to the coming of the kingdom of God. That the rule of God is established not only through the presence in the life of the church, but the rule of God is established as God's rule and will is accepted in each one of our hearts. God's will and rule is accepted in the people around us who are moving toward Jesus. As people are repenting and coming toward the Lord, they are opening themselves more and more to the kingdom rule of God. And there's also that sense in which the kingdom is seen in some sense now in the church and in this rule, but the kingdom of God will come finally and completely and perfectly when Jesus Christ comes again. And so the great prayer, the great Christian prayer, Maranatha, O Lord, come. It's just another way of saying exactly what is said in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. Because we ourselves know that the kingdom is now in the church, now in God's rule as it is being established, but the kingdom is also not yet. We are also still anticipating the kingdom. We are looking for the kingdom. We are waiting for it. It's like you're given a little bit of something right now, but and told you're going to get a whole lot more later. I'm about to tell the government that. Here's some, I'll find some more. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is in the church. The kingdom is established over the hearts of men and women who are in Christ and being established over those who are coming to Christ, but it is not yet completely here. God's rule is not yet fully established. God's reign is not yet fully established. And so I would like to invite you to consider that this prayer is a living and dynamic and present prayer for the church. That now more than at any other time, it's appropriate to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, holy be your name, hallowed be your name, honored be your name, we are reverent before your name. Please, Lord, reign over us. Please, Lord, rule over us. May your rule be more complete in the world. May your reign be more complete in the world as we seek the lost in evangelism, as we become more compliant to your will, as we are in anticipation of the day when the clouds will break and the Lord will descend and everything will be set right as God's will is made perfect. I want to talk just a little bit about the kingdom and the Christian. Now, if you turn to Matthew chapter 13, this is pretty stuff. Somebody raises their hand in the back and says, Eddie, I can't tell whether you're preaching or teaching Bible class. Beats me. Sometimes preaching is just teaching Bible class loud. Sometimes preaching is just reading Scripture really loud. But in Matthew 13, you have the kingdom parables. The parables of the rule of God. Look at beginning in verse 31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in a field. And though it's the smallest of all the seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the air come and perch in its branches. I've always wondered how you can have birds of the air and perch in the branches. But that's a fishing story. In verse 33, the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into a large amount of flour until it worked all the way through the dough. The kingdom rule of God, Jesus says, in the life of a person is something that is established in a very small way, in a very small place. It's the kingdom rule of God. The kingdom rule of God is established in a small place, a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. Jesus is the yeast. Jesus is the mustard seed. Yes. But the kingdom rule of God is established that Jesus comes and He comes and says, Peter and Andrew and James and John, by the kingdom rule of God, I invite you to follow me. Come and follow me. Look at the verses. The kingdom of God is before that paragraph. The kingdom of God is right after that paragraph. The call of the fisherman is in the context of the kingdom rule of God. It starts so small in them. And Peter, who starts off small in his faith, the rule of God is established in his life, and pretty soon he's following, and pretty soon he's asking, pretty soon he's on the water, and he's sinking, and he's proclaiming that Jesus is Lord, and then the kingdom of God is growing, and he's there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, and then he's in the garden, and then the kingdom of God kind of takes a hit when he denies the Lord, but the kingdom of God is growing in him. In Pentecost, he proclaims the Lord Jesus Christ, and the kingdom of God continues to grow in Peter. It continues to grow. The kingdom of God found there in Paul, so small in Paul, there in the darkness in Damascus. He has seen the light. He is praying to the Father, the kingdom of God. He doesn't know very much. It's all coming to him. And soon he grows. The kingdom of God desires to start in us. The kingdom of God desires to start in us. And you may be looking at the rule of God in your own life, and you're going, the rule of God is not established very much in me. If only I could be more. That's right. Be the yeast welcoming person. Be the mustard seed welcoming person. Let the kingdom of God grow in you. But to do that, you have to establish a value for it. Look down at the end. Verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man finds it, he hides it again. He goes in his joy and he sells all he has and he buys that field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he finds one of great price, he goes away, sells everything he has, and he buys it. The kingdom of God may start out small in us. The rule, the reign of God, small in us, but it is precious in us. We talk about the Lordship of Jesus. We sing the song, Jesus is Lord. It's right here. The Lordship of Jesus starts off like a mustard seed, but the Lordship of Jesus starts off like a treasure in a field, a pearl of great price. It is precious. It is valuable. It is desirable. You would give up everything you have to have this rule established in your life. God, I would change everything if you would just rule in me. If you would just reign in me. Really? Yeah. Maybe you remember, brother or sister in Christ, when you came to be baptized into Christ. In that moment, Christ was everything to you. Everything. You know, you didn't know everything that's in the Bible. You don't know everything about God. You don't know everything about Jesus. You don't know everything about His church. You don't know everything. But you know enough. You know that beginning place. You're at that spot where you know the kingdom rule of God, and you are reaching out for that precious pearl, that great treasure. God, reign in me. Reign in me. So we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Come. May your kingdom rule be established. May your kingdom reign be established in your people and in your church. More and more until that great and last day when your kingdom comes finally and completely and perfectly. Do you sense in yourself the call of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you sense in yourself a weariness with the way the world tries to be your boss? Do you need to have a better king? Do you need to have a better ruler? Would it mean everything to you if God would take the job of being your king? That's what He wants to be. We would invite you to hear the kingdom invitation this morning to come to Jesus as we stand and sing together.